In our series, if you haven't been here for our series, we've been talking about the counselor, and we're not really getting it. The counselor in the scriptures is known as what? The Holy Spirit, right? We're not necessarily specifically talking about this Holy Spirit, but we're talking about what happens and some questions that Jesus asks to his disciples. And those questions are incredibly profound. And sometimes they're not just to his disciples, they're to people, random people that he encounters along the journey. And as he encounters them along the journey, they ask him to do certain things, and then he often asks them a question. Jesus, in the scriptures, we find that he asks over 100 questions. A lot of times people think that when we read the scripture that Jesus is always telling us what to do. A lot of times he's asking questions in order for people to really think and process and comprehend what is actually being expressed. So as we start to talk about what we're going to talk about this morning on our third part of the series, let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning and we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable to you, and allow our minds to be open to what we need to hear so our hearts can comprehend. And Lord, may we gain knowledge and wisdom in the name of Jesus. Amen. So there's this amazing passage of scripture that I often ponder, and I wanted to share it this morning. But before I do, I need to explain some things to you and to myself, really. Because if we read this text and you don't understand what's actually taking place, you may get a little confused. So there's this pool in Bethsaida, and Bethsaida is an Aramaic word, but it also translates into Hebrew as well. And Bethsaida means house of grace or house of hope. But what is interesting about this Greek, this Aramaic and Hebrew word, is it also means something else. It has a dual meaning. And the other part of the meaning is shame and disgrace. So the place where we're going to go in scriptures talks about Bethsaida. So it's this place, this house of hope or house of grace, and then a place of disgrace or shame. And sometimes dual meanings have multiple purposes. In this case, we have an individual that is laying on a mat. We have poor people that are crippled people that have a lot of anguish and strife in their lives. They are injured, they're hurt, they're emotionally distraught, and they lay in this area because it's by a pool near the sheep gate. And you may not know what the sheep gate is. Does anyone know what the sheep gate is? The sheep gate is a place, it's kind of logical, I think, right? But it's just on the outskirts of the temple, and there's a sheep gate, and the sheep gate is where they would wash the sheep before sacrifice in the temple. So there's this sheep gate, and the streams near the pool is near the sheep gate. And if you don't know what sheep are like, they smell quite foul. And they're not very cleanly. They're not like cats that lick themselves and clean themselves. Or humans that wash themselves, hopefully, every week at least. So why are you punching people? I'm like, you don't wash, man. I smell you from here, right? But the sheep really, really stink. So when they get washed in the pool, all that smell goes downstream, right? Now, I want you to imagine being somebody that has been laying on a mat for 38 years of your life. You have been crippled. And it doesn't say if the paralytic is paralyzed here down. It doesn't say if it's the arms down. It doesn't say. But I think it's probably from about here and down, because it talks about him trying to get to the pool and how he can't be the first one there. And I want to share a little bit about the pool, because there was this, I don't know if you call it theory or a myth or a hope, but it was the custom that the first person in the pool at the break of dawn would be healed. So the reason why they believed that right then an angel would come and would touch the water, and there would be bubble, it would bubble up, and then whoever got in that pool first was healed. Now, if you're somebody that needs to be healed, don't you want to believe, well, don't you? You want to believe that that pool will bring healing to you, right? You would want to believe that. There's no doubt, no question that that's what you would want to believe. Well, let's read what happens here. Do you want to get well is the question where Jesus poses today. And we're going to talk about that. So in John 5, 1 through 9, it says this. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Whoa. You see that underlined? 38 years. It doesn't say in the scriptures if he was born able to walk and able to run and able to play. He could have been 48 years old. He could have had 10 years before he was in his condition. He could have been born that way. It doesn't say anywhere in the scripture. But 38 years on a mat, in the dust, dirt all over you. You're a mess. You have to rely on everybody else. But there's not many everybody else's around because they're too busy with their own lives. So you're laying in the dust. You're likely a beggar. You're asking for money all the time because you need to eat food to survive. So for 38 years, he laid there hoping that he could go down into the pool and get healed. There are some of us sitting here today. There's some of us that have junk and baggage and anguish and hurts and pains. And some of us even have some physical ailments that we wrestle with, that we need to discover the healing in that. We need to discover the peace in that. We need to discover how God can move and empower us in the midst of our hurts and afflictions and pains in this life. And one of the issues that most of us have is we're so caught up in the here and now and so caught up in everything that's happening that we can't see past it. We're blind to it. And you know what? There's some of us that have pushed it down and pushed it down for so many years that we don't even want to ever see it or deal with it again, even though we deal with it every single day and the people around us know there's something wrong and we're just not right. And we've hidden all this pain and hurt and we haven't been able to discover the healing that God has for us. And we wonder why our life is all screwed up and we wonder why we can't get into the scriptures and understand, like, find the beauty in the scriptures. And we wonder why we don't have a good prayer life. And we wonder why God's not showing up like he should. God, where are you? Where have you been? I don't understand. There's too much stuff going on in my life. Where is God? This blind man, I mean, this paralyzed man, he's looking for healing from a pool when the healer is standing right in front of his face. What? Do we get it? I think a lot of times we're going everywhere else but to Jesus. We're trying to find hope and peace and joy in every place else but Jesus. And because we're like we're going to be talking about in weeks ahead, we're more of a fan than a follower. What happens is, because we're so used to having things go our way or whatever it may be, we lose sight and we lose focus on what God can really do. There's some things. The longer a problem persists, some of you are going to be able to relate to these three things. The longer a problem persists, the more discouraged you become. Has that ever happened to you? You've had a persistent problem in your life, whether it be a physical ailment, a psychological thing that you've dealt with, or just some pains and hurts. And the more discouraged you become, the more you're dealing with it. And the more the time goes by, the more frustrated you get. And the more, why is this happening? I can't understand this. I can't. And the problem is, in that moment, we're not looking beyond the moment. And we're so focused on what's going on now that we can't discover what God actually has and what we need to learn from the moment. So one thing I often ask people when they come to me and they have some troubles and some issues and some struggles and some pain and some hurt, I ask the question, because the more discouraged you become, I ask the question, what do you think God's trying to teach you through this? That is such a probing question. Because some of us, we cannot find the answer right away. It's too hard to find. And we don't know what God's trying to teach us, because maybe it's gone on for years. Maybe it's a recent hurt. Maybe there has been a recent pain and we have a gaping wound. And no Band-Aid's going to fix that. There's no Band-Aid that can be slapped on. So the pain that we've had, we get more and more discouraged. And then, the longer a problem persists, the more excuses we make, right? Oh, you know what? That's like that because of this or this. Or, you know what? Nah, whatever. This is, you know, this happened. This happened because of that person, that person, that person, that. And we place blame on everybody else, right? Have you ever done that? We make excuses. When, particularly my son, when he gets in trouble, he'll say this. He'll say, well, Kelsey made me do it. Okay, so she made you punch her in the face. She made you do that. She said, punch me in the face. I don't think she made you do that. Maybe there was something that brought him to the place, right? He's never actually punched her in the face, but you know what I mean. He has punched her on occasion. I smile, but it's not funny. Because I wrestle him and give him a noogie. No, I mean, you got to discipline your child when they do things inappropriate, right? I remember one time I was standing about where Mike is right now, and I saw Kelsey and Troy interacting. And they started slap fighting. And then Kelsey got tired of it. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Kelsey goes, boom! Troy goes flying across the room with the kicked leg. And he's like, ah! I'm like, what is going on with you two? And I'm raising my voice. I'm like, what is happening? Why are you doing this? This is out of control. And Troy's crying. Kelsey's like, well, he shouldn't bother me. And I'm like, that is true. But because he bothers her all the time. But so I understand why she gave him the flying kick. But, you know, she's pretty strong. So the kid went flying across the room. Now, I'm sitting there trying to figure out what to do. And part of discipline is trying to figure out how you discipline each child, because each child is different, right? So I had to talk it through with both of them, because they can't stand it when I get into my talking mode. You sit there, let's have a little conversation. Troy's still crying. Kelsey, do you think what you did was right? She's like this. And I go, it wasn't right, right? And then Troy, do you think what you did prior to this was okay to do? Right? And then she finally says, I was wrong. And he says, I was wrong. And then I'm like, can't we just get along, right? I quoted Rodney King a couple weeks ago. But when my sister and mom were doing slap fight things in the car on the way to church when I was a kid, right? And I'm in the back seat. Can't we all just get along? And then I quoted Rodney King again. Can't we all just get along, right? Because there's something to be said with getting along, but there's something much deeper to be said for not just getting along, but actually displaying love to one another, despite our differences, despite how we can annoy each other, right? How can I display love without punching or hitting, right? Young kids, a lot of times they do that. And you may not have a child that's more aggressive. My kids both have that, and I think they get it from their mother, but no, not really. That's an excuse, yes. But the longer a problem persists, the more discouraged you become, the more excuses you make. And the third thing is, the more you learn to compensate. Uh-oh. If you've ever had a hurt leg, an injured leg, what happens? Your right knee is hurt, so you limp like this, right? You ever do that? My mother has not been to the doctors or the hospital or anything else for 39 years. Does anyone know how old I am? When I got popped out, that was the last time she saw a doctor. She's a tough woman. When I was in ninth grade, my mother fell down the stairs in the winter, broke her ankle. I kid you not. Her right ankle was broken. I know it was broken because it dangled. She walked like this for years, for like 2 years straight, all right? And she did not go to the doctor. She still, if we go on a kind of a longer distance walk, she still starts limping. We took her up a mountain once. That was fun. But Mom didn't like it much when we got up midway, so we had to go back. But she was a trooper, and she hiked the whole way. Share that story about my mom, because that compensation, she still has repercussions from that. She still walks with a limp on occasion. A lot of times, we compensate so much that we cannot receive the proper healing that we are supposed to receive. And that overcompensation begins to manipulate what God actually has for us. And we've exposed ourselves to hurt and pain so much over and over again. Then we've started to compensate. We started to be discouraged. Then we started to make excuses. And then we've started to compensate. And now we're so dysfunctional that we never can imagine going back to function again. Uh-oh. You cannot change what you are willing to tolerate. Wait, that's preaching right there. You cannot change what you are willing to tolerate. Nobody heard me. Nobody heard me. You cannot change what you are willing to tolerate. God wants us to be transformed. Too many of us are being conformed. It's not about conforming, it's about transformation. Don't stay as a caterpillar, because you're supposed to be a butterfly. You're supposed to go through the process of metamorphosis. We all are. It's one thing to say, I believe. It's a whole other thing to say, I follow, and I trust, and I obey, and there's no other way. Should I sing? No, I won't do it. I won't do it. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. He picked up his mat and he walked. So we're in John, and this passage talks about this guy that just starts walking. I want you to think about what that actually means. What that means. Because what it means for this man is significant. 38 years. If you've never been around someone that's paralyzed, their muscles get really small. So small that it will take years and years of physical therapy if they are ever able to walk again. But 38 years? Do you know that most of his muscles and tissue, they would be degenerated? I don't know what happened, but I can imagine this. Jesus just calls out, now pick up your mat, get up, pick up your mat, and walk away. Go ahead, see you later. Boom, 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 right? Can you imagine? His thighs, all muscles, boom, boom. All the muscles start developing right before everybody's eyes. His calves just like, boom. You think you go to the gym, you're like, look at my calves, man. That guy just like, boom, calf muscle, right? Boom, Achilles, everything's all functioning. He's like, what is going on? Boom, 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 boom. His legs, right? And his legs are now strong and healthy. And he can feel here. He's like, what is going on with my body? He's still laying on the mat. He's like, what is happening here? Get up my mat. Pick up your mat. Well, this is bizarre. Laying on the ground. Pick up your... Oh, wow. Right? Whoa. He's like, pick up your... Whoa! What? Pick up your mat. Okay, whatever you say, man. Pick up your mat. He throws it under his arm. Oh, no way. Do you see what just happened? What? Look at my legs. Look at... What? 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 Right? And he starts hopping away, right? Well, what we haven't read yet. I wasn't even going to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about this because... Right after 9, wait till we read what happens here. Oh boy. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. What is Sabbath? The day of rest, okay? All right. It was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk? You know what? He had no idea who it was. He had no clue. He had never been around Jesus, never saw Jesus, never knew Jesus, nothing. He did not know who Jesus was. No idea who Jesus was. The man who was healed had no idea who it was. For Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. You want to know what Troy asked me after we read this together? He said to me, he said, well, Dad, did he sin because he told the Jews? That's quite an interesting question. And I said to Troy, I said, you know what? I don't know, because Jesus never said, don't go forth and sin no more and don't tell anybody what has happened. He said that to the lepers, right? He said that on a few different occasions because his time had not yet come, so he didn't want them to know that he's the Messiah. In this particular occasion, go forth and sin no more. It may be likely that this man was in his predicament due to sin. It doesn't say clearly. And part of Jewish thought process, if you've read the scriptures, we know that in the Jewish thoughts, it's people are the way they are because of sin. If someone's blind, if someone's deaf, it's because of sin. But we know in the reality is sometimes, what Jesus says, is sometimes it's because of sin maybe, but other times it's because of what? For the glory of God, right? It could be ultimately for the glory of God. And you may say, how can I go through all this stuff and it ultimately be for the glory of God? Well, we see that the demonized man, and when Jesus came along shore, and the man's sitting there at the grave site, and he's cutting himself, and he's in chains that he snapped off, and he's healed. Sometimes it happens because God needs to get the glory from whatever it is. And you may go, why would he ever let me go through all the stuff I've gone through? It doesn't make sense. It does make sense. The problem is we've lost perspective. In this life, you will have troubles of many kinds, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, pick up your cross daily and follow me. It's not going to be easy. However, the challenges, the obstacles, and some of you may never have really faced huge challenges and obstacles in your life. Others of you may have faced monumental challenges and obstacles. Wherever you are on that spectrum, when you find yourself, because if you haven't, someday you will, when you find yourself in the moment of questioning and anguish and pain and hurt and confusion, don't lose perspective. God is with you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Maybe Jesus would say this to us. Let's say this together. Let's read this together. I don't want to hear your excuses. I want to see your faith. Ready? Let's do it again. I don't want to hear your excuses. I want to see your faith. Whoa. What if that's the call out for us this morning? Jesus is like, I don't want to hear your excuses. I want to see your faith. Live out your faith. Don't talk about faith. Live it out. And talk about it, but live it out. Don't compromise. Live out your faith. Don't say God's not here. God, where is God? He's already shown up. And if you believed in him, if he's your Lord, if he's your Savior, if he's your Redeemer, if he's your Healer, if he's your coming King, if he's all that, then guess what? He's not going to leave you, and he's always going to be all that because he is infinite and we're finite. So in this short lifespan that we have, may we live a joy-filled life even in the midst of confusion, pain, and hurt. Did you know you have no idea what your brother or sister next to you is going through? But what we do know is we often focus on our own pain and our own hurt. But when was the last time you wrapped your arm around somebody and said, you know what, I'm here for you. You can be accountable to me, I'll be accountable to you. I'm going to love you, you're going to love me. And I'm not saying a guy, a lady, if you're already married or something, you see a cute girl and go, hey, how are you? You're accountable to me? No. I'm not talking about that distortion because I'm talking about, fellas, if you see another guy that's in need of a man to come along and challenge them, and you're probably the man, you may be the man, whatever. We need each other. Ladies, you find a lady, we've got to be accountable to one another. One of the major flaws we have in Christian community is we've gotten away from that. And because we've gotten away from that, we focus solely on ourselves. And because we're focused on ourselves, we lose sight of God and what he's doing and the work he's doing and what he wants to do in and through us. Imagine what God can do if we just say, I'm not making any more excuses. I'm going to follow him in faith. And I'm going to say this. This, not a fan that we're going to be doing, the 6 weeks. I think every single person in here can commit to 6 weeks. Some are going to have excuses why they can't do it. But everyone can commit to this. It's a matter of reprioritizing. And some of you aren't willing to do it. And I know that. I know that. Be committed to Christ, and he will show you amazing things in your life. I am so tired of people having all these issues, and you know what happens? They're not fully following Christ. And the issues all stem from not following Christ. I want to tell you this. You may think, oh, he's just a pastor. He's got everything together. You know what? I'm a human being, and I've got struggles just as you do. But you know what? We all need to follow wholeheartedly after Christ. And if we're not willing to do it, you know what's going to happen? We've just adopted mediocrity. I don't know about you, but I don't want anything to do with that. I want God to show up big, because we serve a big God, and I want him to show up so big that when he comes, you know what? Everybody around this building, everybody around this community, everybody on this island we call Cape Cod, where a lot of us say, oh, you're just a wash ashore. Oh, you've lived here your whole life. Oh, you're cool. You know, it doesn't matter. What matters is Christ moving in you? Is you receiving the daily healing that you need? Because all of us have junk and baggage and corruption. And me just saying wash ashore gets you saying, I'm not a wash ashore. And then the pride builds up, right? Some of you that don't live on Cape don't know what I'm talking about. But let me tell you, it doesn't matter where you've lived, where you've been, what you've been through. What matters is how you're moving forward in your faith now. How is God healing you and restoring you? Because all of us are a mess at one stage or another. We all have sin issues. We all need a God that saves. Ask yourself the question, is God truly number one in my life? Not just with my words, but with my actions, with my life, and everything. Am I pursuing holiness and righteousness? Because if I'm not, then what's the point of even coming on a Sunday morning and sitting my butt in a pew? Ooh, he said butt. Yes, I did. But really, sitting in a pew, what's the point of it? Or sitting in a chair, or whatever it may be. May we be real, may we be authentic, and may we be accountable to one another, and mostly, may we recognize our accountability to God. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we come to you right now. Lord, some of us are broken. Some of us have had so much hurt and pain in our life that it's very difficult to discover you deeply in our own lives. But God, a lot of times it has to do with sin issues. And Father, as we gather here this morning, Father, some of us need to pick up our mat and go for it, Lord, and walk. Because, Lord, we've been laying on the mat our whole lives. God, I ask, Lord, that for those that need your healing touch upon them, God, that you would move in power, that they would even experience it right now, Lord, that they would discover the healing and the cleansing that they need. God, I pray that you will restore broken hearts, broken marriages, that you will restore broken relationships, that you will restore us all, Lord. God, there's so much junk that happens in our lives. But God, may we come to you this morning and recognize that you are the God that heals and sets free. That you are the God that redeems the brokenhearted. Father, there may be some in here that have lost connection with you and have doubts and fears. And God, I ask that you would show yourself true, even right now, as we gather here. If any of you need prayer for healing or restoration, the elders will be up front, and if you need to come forward, we'll pray for you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.